Worthy, Lord. Worthy is the Lamb of God. You're worthy of our praises this morning. You're worthy of the most beautiful songs that man could ever write, Lord, and so much more. We do not have words to describe how good you are. And you're wonderful and you're majestic, Lord, and you're great and mighty, and yet you choose to inhabit the praises of your people. And Father, we're in a building this morning with different people, different backgrounds, different challenges. Elke persoon het 'n kruis om te dra, daar's uitdagings, daar's moeilikhede, daar's issues, ons het ons laste en goed wat ons net nie vir 'n antwoord kan kry nie. Menslik gesproke is daar nie oplossings, Here. Daarom kom ons na U toe, nie net vir dit wat ons kan kry en vir die oplossing en die uitweg, but because of who you are. And Lord, what your hand provides is wonderful and it's great and it's necessary for life here on earth. But who you are is what we need as people, Father. We come to seek your face this morning, Lord. Yes, you will answer prayers. Yes, you will bring breakthrough. But it's you we long for, Lord. It's your presence we long for, Lord. It's you we love and you we adore. And we thank you that as your people this morning, we can seek your face together. We're not here to play church. We're not here to hear any person speak. The fellowship that we have with each other afterwards, it's great, Lord. But we want a fellowship with you. We thank you that you promise that you prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And there's space for everybody at that table, Lord. Thank you that today we can rest in you. In these few moments that we have with each other, we ask, Lord, that you speak and that you move, Lord. And that you touch our hearts and that we hear what you have to say, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord God, that you meet every person at their place of expectation, according to our faith, be it unto us. But that you also go above and beyond that. And that you surprise us today with your goodness, Lord, as we look at your word. We do not take for granted the privilege that we have of being able to read the Bible together, to sing together, to pray together, to discuss you together. We all, Lord God, and myself included, we acknowledge our dependency upon you. For truly, God, without you, we are nothing. We literally a handful of dirt that you've breathed your life into and you've made us who we are as people. So today, would you move beyond the limitations of my speech and would you give us exactly what we need to hear from you this morning in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And the people of the Most High God said, Amen. Hallelujah. Have you greeted somebody yet this morning? If not, maak nou gebruik van daai geleentheid. Groet mekaar vriendelik. Ernstig. Groet mekaar vriendelik vanoggend. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, God wants to bless and reward your faithfulness this morning. God wants to bless and reward your faithfulness for coming this morning. Thank you for coming this morning. God bless you. And if you're visiting this morning, thank you for coming. We're going to give you an opportunity at the end of the service. Please, next door in the hall, there's a place where we serve coffee and tea. The first time visitors, please come there. I don't drink coffee or tea, but I'd like to meet you. I'd like to get to know you. So please, if you're a first-time visitor, come and say hi. And I'll convince you that there's very, very pleasant people in this body. There's baie meer oulik as wat ek is. So dit hoef jy by my te eindig nie. There's very nice people in this church. So please, come and say hi if you're visiting with us this morning. So how many of you have experienced the concept where you have internet banking and it is linked to your mobile device? Can I see a show of hands? Wat doen die res van julle? Hoe gaan staan jy in die queues by die bank onnodiglik? Well, to each his own. But there's a concept where you have internet banking and it can be on your mobile device. And any account activity gets communicated to you via a text message. Kan julle vereenselvig daarmee? Does anybody not know what I'm talking about? What happens is that if you do banking, if money goes into your account or out of your account, they let you know via SMS. Now, how many of you get SMSs that let you know when money is going out of your account? Okay. How many of you get SMSs that let you know when money goes into your account? Are you excited when SMSs let you know that money is going out of your account? Understandably. Are you excited when SMSs let you know that money is coming into your account? Okay. So this morning, by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit is going to change our minds and help us to see things differently. Verbeel jou, jou lewe is ook soos 'n bankrekening. Daar gaan goed wees wat gaan aan inkom en goed wees wat daar gaan uitgaan. And there's a principle spiritually that says, for something to come into your life, something has to go out of your life. If you've got a bad attitude, what does it need to be replaced with? No, a club. And then the good attitude will come. Okay. So for something to come into your life, something needs to go out of your life. So by the grace of God this morning, the Holy Spirit is going to change our mindsets and our attitudes towards something that us as South Africans are experiencing more and more and more each day as the return of Jesus gets closer. For the last couple of weeks, we've been speaking about pain and suffering and trials and tribulations and troubles. And today's message is called Today's Troubles. And by the grace of God, the Spirit is going to give us an ability to change our mindsets concerning that. And you're going to see how it relates to the example I gave with the bank accounts. So if you've got your Bible, turn with me to the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew. Or touch your screen. I've learned something this week that slim mense het al uitgewerk. That somehow, the way we read today electronically affects our ability to memorize things and to also comprehend things. So apparently it's better to read an old-style book. But listen, if you use an electronic Bible, I'm fine with that. I do too. But when I learned this, I thought, no, I want to be able to remember. And I want to be able to have good comprehension. So apparently because of the way a book is designed and put together, it helps us to think like in a continuous stream and flow of thoughts. Whereas touching screens could be problematic. It could be. There's nothing wrong with it. So turn with me in your Bibles or touch on your screens to the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew. And we're going to read from verse 24 in the words of Jesus up to in verse 34. And it says, "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So I tell you, don't worry about everyday life." Do you think Jesus is speaking to South Africans today? "Whether you have enough food or drink or clothes, doesn't life consist of more than food and clothing? Look at the birds." That means the ones that fly, not the chicks. Guys, hello. "They don't need to plant or harvest or put food in barns because your heavenly Father feeds them. And you are far more valuable to Him than they are. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Of course not. And why worry about your clothes? Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, won't He more surely care for you? You have so little faith. So don't worry about having enough food or drink or clothing. Why be like the pagans who are so deeply concerned about these things? Your heavenly Father already knows all your needs, and He will give you all you need from day to day. If you live for Him," there's the clincher. "If you live for Him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern." So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. So Jesus has basically given us a written guarantee. Vandag is our moeilikhede vandag. Don't put up your hands. Maar wie van julle het moeilikheid en teespoed opgetel op pad kerk toe? Don't put up your hands. Sometimes I'm in my most spiritual frame of mind and Colette and I have intense fellowship. Just on the way to church. I'm going to go staan and preek ook. Jesus has given us a written guarantee that each day has enough trouble of its own. How many of you can relate to what I'm saying? And then John 16:33, he says this: in this world, you will have trouble. You're going to have problems and challenges in this world. He said, I told you this that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I've overcome the world. Now sometimes the trouble might not be directed at us specifically. But at the very least, we're going to encounter somebody that has troubles that we have an opportunity to help them with. So this is a guarantee. There's enough troubles of its own. And this is the mindset that I believe God wants us to have a change. Imagine if you looked at your bank account, that every time an SMS was received, the SMS was pertaining to money coming in. It could kind of change things, isn't it? That's a lacquer every time there's an SMS. And you can set your mobile phone today that it makes a certain tone for a certain thing. And if you could set it that when the bank sends an SMS that there's money, you can set a voice that says, hallelujah, of woohoo. So every time you're in the office and you're having a rough day, the phone says, woohoo, woohoo, and the geld kom in. Well, here's the deal. What if we have a change of mind that every time trouble comes, that we realize that here is a potential for us to grow and become more like Jesus. Every time we face a difficulty, here is a chance for God to do. God can take this mess and turn it into a message. God can take this very thing that the devil wanted to use against me, and he can turn it into something that I can use against the devil. You see, there's the story of this little shepherd boy, a little teenager, who his father and brothers deemed not even worthy to be considered for leadership, called David. And there was a giant, a groot breker called Goliath, and says, who's this God of yours? If he's so big and strong, come, let's see, I'll fight any one of you here. And David faced Goliath, a little 14-year-old boy faced a man who was trained for war from the time he was born from his mother's womb, a giant of a man. And he came, met sy wapenrusting daaraan. And you know the story. If you don't, I'm telling you now. So David gets some stones together, gets 5 stones, and he's got a sling, and he hoys a stone, and it kills Goliath, right? No. Read your Bibles. Some of you are like, say, lees your Bible. The stone did not kill Goliath. The stone knocked Goliath down. And Goliath, say, eens te swart, David took Goliath's sword and decapitated the jerk. What's the principle? The very weapon that the enemy plans against you, by the grace of God, if you change your attitude, God will enable you to use that weapon against the devil, and you become stronger. That's the principle. So how different would life be for us if we see every trouble that comes, every difficulty, every circumstance? Now, I know somebody, this guy is a specialist at complaining. Listen, this oak is good, eh? This oak, he's... Really, take a guess what I'm talking about. Wena. Yeah, I've got a witness. When I start, then the eyes roll back and it's, oh. And I know, say, kom net weg daarso, because she knows. Yeah, the specialist of complaining is on a roll. And something happens and dan manifesteer ek, I manifest. And I complain, and I complain, and I complain, and I complain. Instead of, especially if something breaks at a time where I don't have time to fix it. Now, I know you guys don't do that. But I'm the specialist complainer. Because ek het nie geplan dat hierdie ding breek nie. Dit moet nie nou breek nie. It must just work. And then it's one thing after the next. And then before I know it, I'm finding myself, I'm bromming, hoor. I'm bromming. I'm angry. And listen. The devil isn't even nowhere near me because hy waag daarteen om naby my te kom. So I can't even say that the devil is stealing my joy. You know what I do? I just give it to him. In fact, hy's nie naby, I take it and I throw it. Just I throw my joy away and hopefully something or somebody finds it. That's me. Instead of when the pawpaw hits the fan and the trouble comes, say, Lord, How can I grow from this? How can I learn from this? Like that SMS that lets me know there's money coming in the account of my life and the person of who I am and who God is trying to make me be. How different sou dit nie gewees het nie as ons daai mindset het. Here, something that comes across my path. This trouble, this difficulty, this challenge, these difficult times, the economic pressure that we're feeling in South Africa. How about us saying, Lord, how can I grow from this? How can I learn? I don't know about you, but we've had to make some financial adjustments in our lives personally and also in this church. And I learned this thing recently, and by the grace of God, I'm doing my best to apply it. When difficult times come and in times of scarcity, let us not ask ourselves, what must I do? Maybe businessmen are going to, you're thinking, what must I do? What, you're trying to make plans. What must I do? Instead of saying, Lord, how must I think? How must I think? Something's not going according to your plan of life. And so what must I do? What must I do? Instead of saying, Lord, how must I think? Change the way I think. And can I tell you this much? For me, where I am at, this time of scarcity has taught me to be more grateful than I've ever been. Because ek was op 'n plek waar ek sekere goed vanselfsprekend geneem het. I took it for granted. Because I'm a child of God, and I'm working for God, and I'm doing things for God, I get a sense of entitlement that things must my always go my way. Really? Waar staan dit geskrewe tussen Genesis en Maps? Nêrens nie. Jy kry dit nie in die Bybel that everything will always go according to our plans. Troubles will come. Jesus promised it. Jesus himself wasn't exempt from these issues. And I submit to you, do you think it's possible that God is wanting us to change our attitude? Somebody said this, and I'm going to say it again because it's worth saying it. Your attitude determines your altitude. Your attitude determines your altitude. Things look the way they look entirely because of where you stand. Give this example. Yeah, let's do this example. Who's very, very shy and teruggetrokke? Be honest, if you're shy. If you're shy. Moenie hand opsit nie. Kom hier, soskat. Staan daar. Wat sien jy? Beskryf my wat jy sien. En wat nog? Naam van die boek. Nee, hier is nie 'n naam van die boek nie. Wat nog? Nee, wat sien jy hier buite? Wat sien jy? Die naam van die boek. Nee, dis hier, hier is nêrens 'n naam van die boek nie. Karton, hard. Nee, hier is ook nie karton nie, hier is net sagte papierblaaie hierso. Maar wat sê, dis waar, dis daai kant. Can you see the difference? From where she's standing, this is what she sees. So if I'm standing in the wrong place, if I'm standing in a place of my moaning, my groaning, my complaining, all I'm going to see is the negativity. Whereas if I come and I stand from God's perspective, what I see, the Word of God. That's the uitweg hierso. Baie dankie. Let's give her a round of applause. What you see is determined entirely by where you stand. What you see. So, wat sien jy vanoggend? Doom en gloom en Suid-Afrika gaan soos die res van whatever wees en is net nag en die regering die en die rand daai en die petrolprys dit en die. Or do you see, God is still God. Amen. Hy is nog steeds 'n waarmaker van sy beloftes. People change, God hasn't changed. He's still the miracle working God of the Bible. That if I let him and if I believe him, he'll do the impossible in my life because he can. Amen. Just because of where I stand. Folks, we need to have a checkup from the neck up. And an attitude adjustment. Say, Lord, change the way we see things. Change where we stand so that we can see things the way you see things. That's what I believe God is teaching his body of Jesus Christ in this day and age where we stand here. Verse 34, Jesus says, this day has enough troubles of its own. So, if every day, if Jesus guarantees that this day has troubles, what's the Bible's good news answer for that? Klaagliedere, hoofstuk 3. That's Lamentations, chapter 3, Verse 22 and 23, it says, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. Man, that's good news. I want to preach a sermon just on that. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. Kom ons begin hier daar. But there's more. His mercies never cease. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I don't have to rely on yesterday's grace. Old stale grace, old stale promises, old stale favor. Before I woke up this morning, God had put something together in the heavenlies, in His beautiful mind, in His loving Father heart. He put something together for me today, for you, that if you believe Him, if you change where you stand and you change where you think, you're going to see what God has prepared for you today. Today, new mercies, new compassions, new grace, new favor. Why? So that you can overcome the troubles that are in this day. There it is. Maar ek moet myself op 'n plek bring in my lewe waar ek moet die moeite dan doen om dit te vind and to unwrap it. I haven't given this to the sound guys, but let's just come with me to the book of Job. Job 33. Check this out. Man, I love this. Yoo-hoo! Oh, Craig, somebody got an SMS there. Money's just come into that account. Don't forget to tithe. Hallelujah. just by the way, you I know Dion, I know what he meant, but you can't pay your tithe, eh? You return to God what's rightfully His. What did I say? I said Dion. Yeah, Job. No, not Dion 33, Job. Check this out, yeah. Check this out. All right, Job 33, verse 14. It says this, but God speaks again and again, though people do not recognize it. He speaks, verse 15, He speaks in dreams, in visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on people as they lie in bed. He whispers in their ear and terrifies them with His warning. Verse 17, He causes them to change their minds. He keeps them from pride. He keeps them from the grave and crossing over the river of death. I want to give it in another translation. The NLT doesn't quite say it like what I want to illustrate this morning, so let's go here. It says this in the New King James. Here we go. Verse 16. It says, then He opens the ears of men and seals their instruction in order to turn man from his deed and conceal pride from man. So He gives you, He ministers to your spirit while you sleep, because your spirit doesn't sleep, and seals the instructions. Why is it sealed? Why is it sealed? So that we would make the time. Make the time in the mornings to get quiet before the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. Yes, you can come with your shopping list. Yet, die. This is how I want it. This is when I want it delivered. And why didn't I get it yesterday? Go through all of that. But then get to the place where you say, okay, Lord, what now? And let the Spirit of God reveal to you what the Spirit in the night has deposited in your spirit. To face the music for the day. That God can equip you for the day. That He can take the written word of God and make it alive in your heart and your life. For the day, so that before you leave your front door, you're ready and equipped because you've allowed God to speak a word into your heart so that come what may, you can face the music. That's why. His mercies and compassions fail not. They new every morning. So every day, God has given you grace upon grace upon grace to be able to overcome whatever the day has for you. That's good news, isn't it, church? That's why I believe God wants us to change our minds concerning this thing. That's His good news. So for each new day that comes with its troubles, there's new grace for that time. We can have this attitude. You say, well, I'm battling, Mozia. What do we do? What do we do when the troubles just don't stop? You just feel it's trouble after trouble after trouble after trouble. God has an answer for that too. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 to 10, the Apostle Paul is praying. He describes something that he experienced in his life. The Bible teaches us that it's a messenger of Satan that troubled him all the time. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. And Jesus gave Paul this answer. He said, "My grace is all you need." Notice, if I was Jesus, thank God I'm not. If I was Jesus, I would have given Paul a solution. I would have given him a way out. I would have given him an answer. I would have given him the fix. Hello? Just fix this problem, Lord. Jesus doesn't do this. It's amazing Jesus' response. He doesn't do that. He just says, "My grace is sufficient for you." If I was Jesus and Paul is praying like this, I would have said, "Paul, what you need to do is, you need to pray like this, you need to quote this scripture, and you need to do this and this to the devil, and dan gaan jy sien wat se pak slag gaan jy vir hom gee." Because that's the solution. Jesus doesn't tell him that. He doesn't tell him that. He doesn't tell him that this messenger would stop. He doesn't tell him that this trouble is going to end. He doesn't tell him that. He does not tell him that. How many times do we pray and that's all the answer we want from God? We just want him to tell us the how. We want him to tell us the what so that we can understand. But the Bible says in Hebrews, the Bible says this, by faith we understand. Can you see the key? There's a specific order. We want the understanding, and once we understand, then we're going to believe. No, don't work like that with the things of God. The world says, "Show me and then I'll believe." God says, "Believe in me and then I'll show you what you never dreamed possible." It says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were formed by his words. So faith comes first. And when you're trusting and believing him, as you can handle it, as we mature and grow, then he gives you a little bit of understanding at a time. Little bit by little bit by little bit. That's how it works. And Jesus answers Paul like this. He says, "My grace is all you need." Wow. My grace is all you need. Jesus saying again, "My power works best in weakness." You see, if you're full of yourself, God will never fill you. God can only fill people who have emptied themselves of themselves. And he says, "My strength is perfect when you're at your weakest. That's when I'm strong in you." If you got your act together and you're nailing it, this thing called life, you've got it down pat. You don't need anything, you don't need anybody, the bucks is good, the house is good, the health is good, the relationships are quiet, all is sharp. How much time do you think you're going to be making to praying and seek God's face? God's going to be like a 24-hour emergency chemist, like an afterthought, or the spare wheel. When the tires pop, dan grou jy in die boot change. That's how God's going to be. And he says this, "My power works best in weakness." So, and Paul goes on to say, "I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses." Can you see Paul had a mind change? You see, he could have said, he could have brummed and complained like the rest of us. No, he says, "Hang on a second. My weaknesses is actually something where Jesus can be made strong in my life. Because when I'm like this, I see God work like this. When I'm at my weakest, Christ is at his best in my life. And I see the hand of God work in my life." Paul had this mind change in church. We need this mind change. I need this change in my pip. I need to start looking at things differently. I don't know about you, but I've got to stop brumming and complaining and moaning and going, moaning about everything all the time. And he had this mind change. And he says, "So I boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, the hardships, the persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I'm weak, then I am strong." Our lives will change dramatically if we view our troubles as geleenthede om te groei. Instruments that God can use. Don't let anybody, that the devil or anyone, tell you, know that God orchestrates and puts together bad things to happen to you. That's not how he works. That's a lie from the pit of hell. He's a loving, caring father. But when the devil does come, God can turn that around to use it for your good. Don't say, "God gave me cancer so that I can learn whatever." Or, "God wanted my house to be broken into." Don't come with that. That's a lie. God is not like that. He's a loving father. Can you say amen? He's first a father. And he can turn the mess and the enemy's weapon around so it can be something used for your good. Philippians 2 and verse 14. As do everything without complaining and arguing. Kom ons begin. Do everything without complaining. Dear Lord, can I just get this out of my Bible? Do everything without complaining. Kom ons begin maar net daar. Mense, ek's eerlik met julle vanoggend. We family here this morning, all right? I battle with this. I'm an expert complainer. I'm an expert complainer. Do everything without complaining. When the enemy comes with a negative thought in your head, allow the Spirit of God to arrest it right there. Change the way you think and don't even let it come out as a complaint. Don't even let it come out as a complaint. Now here's the deal. Dion, I see the first time I've noticed that you're doing the announcements without crutches. That's not funny. First time I noticed him doing announcements since he had crutches that he's doing it without crutches. Obviously, there was a time we never had crutches, but the point I'm trying to make is the following. That, what is the point I'm trying to make? Complaining, yeah. It would be foolish of Dion to stand here and saying, I don't have crutches. Hello? He's got crutches. So what we're trying to teach this morning is don't be silly en probeer ontken dat jy gekonfronteer is met 'n berg. Daar's 'n berg voor jou. Moenie sê, nee, die berg is nie daar nie. Maar die berg is daar. So, jy kan die feite aankondig, maar bely die waarheid. You can declare the facts, but make sure that you declare the truth that overrides those facts. So, the fact is, we got troubles in our life. Hello. But the truth is, and then find something in the Word of God, some truth that you can speak over that fact. So I'm not saying deny the fact that you've got some issue, or deny the fact that you've got some difficulty that no man can get you out of. That's plain silly. That's not scriptural. Some people think, oh, positive confession. You've got a broken leg saying, nee, dis nie stikken, nie, dis nie gebreek nie. Man, die ding is gebreek, man. The fact is, it's broken. But the truth is, God can touch it and heal it in the name of Jesus. The fact is, I've got a bad attitude. The Bible says, by the mouths of two or three witnesses, every word is established. I only heard one voice, so. The fact is, but the truth is, I can have the mind of Christ. Philippians 2 verse 4 and 5. And 1 Corinthians 2:16. I can have the mind of Christ. I can have this attitude. Can you see the difference there? So when a negative thought comes, don't even let it become negative words. Let the Spirit of God arrest it right there. Change the way you think and then speak. You can declare the fact and say, the fact is, South Africa's economy is in trouble. But the truth is, we're subjects of a different economy. The fact is, the rand is worth less than monopoly money. But the truth is, God's currency has remained unchanged since day one. The fact is, there are earthly leaders that are making a mess of their lives and the lives of others. But the truth is, God is still on the throne. Can you see the difference? The fact is, it's going bad with my business. But the truth is, God is my rescuer. Can you see where we're going with this? That's the attitude that we need to have. Romans 8 and 28 says this. If we really believe what this verse says, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. If we really, really believe that, it will be easy for me to say that when a trouble comes, He has an opportunity. But I must believe that first. Jesus wasn't exempt from all of these troubles. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, even though He was God's Son, listen to this, He learned obedience through the things which He suffered.
Wow.
Even though he was God's son, Jesus learned obedience through the things which he suffered. Why? So that he can be an example to us, that we can see that these things can make for our obedience, make for our discipline, make for our strengthening. One of the roles that Jesus filled while here on earth and continues today is one of a priest. Priests stand in the gap on behalf of other people. They bring sacrifices on behalf of the people. They make intercession to God on behalf of people. And Jesus does that. He stood in the gap for others. He stood in the gap for us. And he continues to do so to this day. Hebrews 7 and verse 25, it says, therefore, he is able, once and forever, to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. So Jesus is doing this. It says he lives forever to intercede to God on our behalf. He lives forever to do that. Ladies and gentlemen, the troubles that we face is first and foremost for us to overcome them, to be victorious in them, to see the hand of God working in our lives for our troubles, but also so that we then can be people who can help others overcome their troubles. Folks, if you come to this building in this little place called Duncanville week after week after week, I need to say this to you by the Spirit of God. What you see and experience and perceive here is for you, but not only for you. Not only for you. We are all about bringing the unchurched into the kingdom of God, into the family of God to advance his kingdom. That's what we're about. We're about getting ourselves strengthened, ourselves equipped, ourselves trained, our attitudes right, our motives right, our hearts pure, our lives lived proper, so that when we go out into the world, we have something to export. We need to get ourselves to a place where the hope that we say we believe in is real to us. How can I tell somebody about that Jesus is the hope if I'm hopeless? How am I going to experience the hope of Christ unless I've overcome something that was hopeless? How am I going to be able to go to somebody and say God can do the impossible unless ek het myself in 'n plek gevind waar dit onmoontlik was vir enige mens om verlossing te bring en aan die Here bring dan sy verlossing en sy antwoord? How can I then give that to people if I haven't experienced it myself? So I want to close off this morning by leaving this thought with you. To recap then, Jesus guarantees us that this day has troubles. Deal with it. Guess what? By the grace of God, if you wake up tomorrow, guess what tomorrow is going to have? Troubles of its own. Jesus says each day has sufficient troubles of its own. But the Bible also says that God's mercies and graces are new every morning. That's the good news. So when you come to this place regularly, it's not just about you. It's about getting you to the place where you can play a priestly role in the lives of other people like Jesus does. Jesus did. How many of you have to think very, very, very hard before you can think of somebody that needs the message and the life and the love of Jesus? You don't have to think very hard. Right now, take 5 seconds. Think of somebody who needs a miracle. Think of somebody who needs a breakthrough. Think of somebody that just needs just a glimmer of hope in their lives. In Colossians 1:27, it says this, to them, God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. That's the mystery. The fact that God chooses to live inside of us as people. And it goes on to say, Christ in you, the hope of all glory. So I want us to do something practical this morning. As we stand, sit. Just chillax. We're going to close off and pray together. And we're going to ask God, Lord, by your Spirit, change the way we think. Change the way we think this morning. I want us to do something practical. Please take your hands like this. Please humor me. If you insist on sitting with your arms folded, fine, I'll still love you. And God still loves you. Take your hands and put it on the side of your head. And imagine that you're taking your head off like this. And you move it to the side. And you put it down. Okay, then you put your hands up again. And you embrace your Heavenly Father. God's mind, God's heart, Jesus' attitude for you and you take that attitude with your hands, you receive it now by His Spirit, and you put it on you. Lord, this simple illustration that we've done, Lord, it's childish. It's silly. But God, we are serious about this, Father. Father, we need a change of attitude and a change of heart. And there's certain things that you've equipped us to do and enabled us to do as people. And then we get to our wits end, waar, Here, ons kan net nie meer nie. Daar's menslik gesproke niks verder wat ons kan doen nie. Here, daarom kom ons na U toe in die naam van Jesus Christus vanoggend. Ons sê, Here, help ons. Help ons. Give us a change of attitude and a change of heart. Lord, help us to see that every trouble and difficulty and challenge that comes is something that You can use to change us, to teach us, to grow us, that we can become more and more and more like Jesus. And we pray this in the bottom of our hearts this morning, in Jesus' name. You seated here this morning, I want to give you an opportunity. If you are not at a good place in your relationship with Jesus, and you don't even know if God loves you anymore, I want to tell you the good news is that God loves you. And if you're not secure in your relationship with God, right there where you're seated, I want to pray for you. And what I'm talking about is not church membership, but you having an assurance that God loves you. And if you know that He loves you, know this, that He loves you just the way you are. But He loves you too much to leave you the way you are. He has more in store for you. He has a better life for you. He has a life of victory and a life of overcoming in store for you. And if die konsep van 'n liefdevolle hemelse Vader wat kan lief wees vir jou waar jy dan is, 'n vreemde konsep is, bedink hierdie waarhede vir oggend wat ons graag saam met julle wil bid. And I want to pray with you this morning. If you're at that place where you think, God, how could you possibly love me after everything I've done, after what I've said, after how many times I've made commitments and gone back on them, I've recanted on my word, I've lied, I've done whatever, Lord, I've let you down, I don't deserve your love, I don't deserve heaven. That doesn't matter. Jesus didn't die because we deserve it. He died because He loves us, period. That's it. I want to pray with you this morning. Father, I pray for each precious soul this morning that's at that place. They know who they are, and you know who they are. Holy Spirit, would you show your love to them? Would you show the love of God, the love of Jesus, expressly to them as individuals in a profound, special, special way? Lord, would you send people across their path where somehow they will see that you're a God of love and care and mercy and compassion and grace. And Father, we don't leave this place defeated. We don't leave this place condemned or fearful. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know that you hold tomorrow. We don't even know that tomorrow is a guarantee, but we want to say, Lord, come what may, because our life is in your hands anyway. And I pray, Lord God, the truth of these words would settle in our lives and that it bears lasting fruit into salvation. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, Amen. God bless you. Thank you for visiting with us this morning. Just a reminder to the intercessors of our meeting afterwards.